Yeah, it's like the average American guy only has one way of evaluating Dine Mumbitus. It's your fault.
That thing is that it leads to some ridiculous conclusions also.
Right, yeah, that for sure. Absolutely. It's your fault.
You blame industries or the government, you know, for...
What do you mean?
What
do you mean? You serve a guy too many drinks and he goes out and drives drunk and kills someone and they go back to the bartender.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Once you have that kind of approach, it's your fault. You know, you get that into that emotional framework. I mean, there's no end to it. Now, I'm not saying every case necessarily is that. There are some times when halacha, of course, would say he's chayiv, but for technical halachic reasons, he can't be. But of course, we, you know, that's exactly what the Gemara means. You know, chayiv b'dinei shemayim. I don't mean the chayiv b'dinei shemayim like we had before. The chayiv b'dinei shemayim by poritz geder, of course, means there's real chiyuve mamon that you really have to take care of. The only thing is the bezdin can't enforce it. Over here, I mean chayiv b'dinei shemayim means, I don't know, whatever, you cause somebody's death. So you chayiv b'dinei shemayim. It's just the technical reasons that the bezdin can't act. But yeah, but it's your fault. That kind of emotional approach, I mean, leads to many crazy conclusions, and that's why the American system is so filled with all sorts of economic consequences because of this broad concept of liability. All right, Chaim, can we go further now?
Yeah, thank you.
No problem. Okay, so we just reviewed the Eishem Mishem Chitzav, Eishem Mishem Mamona. Okay, so now we're going to go further, and we wanted to do the Tosas Eilema on Nun Vav Amud Aleph. So let's first get the facts of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And then we'll do Tosas, and we'll hopefully understand how Tosas looks at those facts. Okay, let's do that. All right, so I think you have to look at, we'll pick on the cases we need. So we'll start on Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Yeah. All right, we're taking up the Gemara on Ayin Vav Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara has two cases. The Mishnah. V'kava shalav l'socha mayim or l'socha or v'eino yachol lalos misham umeis chayiv dachval l'socha mayim or l'socha or v'yachol lalos misham v'meis pater. So one case is you don't allow the guy to come out of the water. But he's already in the water. The other case is you throw him in the water. You push him in the water. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabusa, right? The two dots in the Gemara. Reisha Rabusa, Kamash Malan, Visefer Rabusa, Kamash Malan. Reisha Rabusa, Kamash Malan, Afal Gavdalav, Ihu Dachvo. Came with Ein Yachalalos Misham Umeis Chayev. Sefer Abusa Kamash Malon Afgav the Dachvo. Came with the Yachalalos Misham Umeis Potter. So the first case is that what? You didn't actually put him in the water. But since he can't get out of the water because of your actions, so therefore you're Chayev. The safest chiddush is that even though you push them in there, but since he can get out, and then he dies, you're potter. So the Gemara says, Kavash Minalan. See, the Gemara asks, Kavash Minalan. Yeah, why is the Gemara asking, Kavash Minalan? Why is the Gemara asking, Kavash Minalan? So So it sounds, because otherwise you might argue that it's grumma. Because you didn't put him in the water. You just grab onto his head and don't let him come up. He was already down. And now you don't let him come out. And the Gemara says, "De Omakra Obeeva." Right? That's the Pasuk where? In Bamidbar, right? Yeah, right. Obeeva he kaho biyado vayamos. Mos yumas amake wrote seachu. So the Gemara says, Obeeva larabos es hametzamtzem. That's what Obeeva means. It's coming to be Meraba, that case. Right? Be'eva means with hatred. Okay? And the Torah is defining Mitzamtzem, like Rashi says, Hainu Kovesh, Shetzamtzemo Shom Shelo Yakum. You hold him there. So what? So the Torah is being mechadesh that mitzamtzem is chayef in the world of Ritzicha. Mitzamtzem is chayef. You can't give a grumma argument. The Torah is merava mitzamtzem. Okay. What exactly is the definition? Hold off. We'll get there in a moment. By the way, right, the Gemara says later on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says later that, where is it? Yeah. Rav Acha bar Rav Poter, Amar Rav Masharshe, my time in Avua da Abba, the Poter. Amakra, most yumas hamaka rotseachu, birotseachu the chayavlon mitzamtzem, binizokin lo chayavlon mitzamtzem. There's mitzamtzem is a gzeres hakasuv by ritzicha, but really by normal nizikin, that kind of a case would be considered grumma, and you'd be putter. Like Rashi says, the grumma by your on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, third line down, Rav Acha Poter, the Grumma Ba'almahu. Okay? It's considered Grumma. Okay. So it's a special Gzeres HaKasuv, Oba Eva. Wrote Seachu. And that's Memayet Nezakin. Okay, good. All right? In other words, I did not do a Maisa to put him underwater. He's already underwater. I am just being a goreim that he remains underwater. Like a guy falls into a hole in the ice. And I put a piece of wood over the hole and I stand on it. It's grumma. That's considered grumma. We'll come back to Mitzamtzem. But anyhow, that's the Gzeres HaKasuv. It's chayef. It's a maisa. It's considered ritzicha. So now the Gemara, now Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kotsov Ameis Berav Potter. Ve'omar, so the first case is you tie a guy up and he dies from hunger, from lack of food, you potter. Ve'omar Rava Kotsov Bechama Umeis Betzina Umeis Chayef. But if you tie a guy up in the sunlight and he dies, or in the freezing cold, and he dies, Yechayev. So, the Omar Rava, I'm sorry. Sof Chamalavo. But if you tie him up when the sun isn't out yet, but it's going to come, Sof Tzina Lavo, you know the temperatures are going to plunge later, Potter. You will be Potter. Okay? All right, those are the cases you have to know for the Tosis. So you have, right, Kafso Meis Berav is Potter. Kafso Bachama or Betzina is Chayev. But Sof Chama Lovo, Sof Tzina Lovo is Potter. Those are the three cases you have to know. All right. I don't want to read Rashi yet here. We'll come back to the Rashis.
Right. The
Ari. Where is that? We could do that too.
He quotes that and says that.
Yeah, V'amar Rava Kafso Lifnei Ari Potter. Okay. Tosis Nunvav Amar Aleph. Ilei Medamat Yilei Baruch Mitzuya Bedinei Adam Nami Lachayev. Right? So the Gemara said that if you bend over the stalk in a Ruach Mitzuya, so you be chayev. Satosa says, Vim Tomar, Kevan She'ein Chilek, Vein Makarev Dover Eitzel Ha'esh, Uvein Makarev He'esh Eitzel Ha'davar, Amai Amrinan Beperakol Hanisrafin, Kofsa B'makom Shesov Chama Lovo, Otsina Lovo, Potter. L'chayev l'manda amar esho mishum chitzav. V'chein kafsa l'fnei ari. Alright, we gotta dissect this kasha here. Okay, so Tosis is asking this entire kasha only according to the manda amar of esho mishum chitzav. Even though, of course, Tosis himself learns that the sugya can go either way. But he's raising this kasha only according to Rabbi Yochanan. Eisho Mishum Chitzav. Why is that? So... What's that?
Then you could extend to the dinner
of
Pesach and ask
this
question.
Yeah. Exactly. In other words, because if you learn like Reish Lakish, so it's just a din mamon. It's a mechanism to be machayev and mamonis. But you can never say that based on that kind of concept that he has he's a rotzeach. A mechanism can't make him a rotzeach. To make him a rotzeach, it has to be a maisa b'yadayim. It has to be a maisa adam b'yadayim. So that's why he doesn't ask the kasha, doesn't buy, he's not going to ask the kasha from the other perspective. It doesn't make any sense. Right, so how's he learning? So now, Tosis is saying, so if you learn the sugya from the perspective of Esha Mishum Chitav, so what you find out is that it makes no difference whether you move the stalk closer to the fire or you bring the fire to the stalk. In the world of Esha Mishum Chitav, in the world of Esh, it makes no difference on which side of the equation you stand. So if that's true, so why don't you say when you tie a guy up and sof chama lovo, why is he potter? You brought the guy to the fire, closer to the fire, and it's going to eventually reach him. So why is he potter? Why is it different in this case? All right? That is the gist of his question. But of course, there is something very important we have to discuss here for a moment. Which is that there's something here that's not so pashut. Which is that the cases of Sanhedrin are not cases of Eish. In other words, there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how to categorize Eish. Is Eish Mishum Chitzav, or is Eish Mishum Mamono? But that's a question as far as how do you categorize the Parashat Torah of Kitetzei Eish, the phenomenon of fire. What's this got to do with Sof Chama Lavo or Sof Tzina Lavo? Or Lifnei Ari? It's very nice to say Eish Mishum Chitzav. What's this got to do with those cases? Somewhat similar to Akasha last week about the Nimuke Yosef, about Shabbos. That he starts asking Eish Mishum Chitzav by Maisa of Hadlakas Ner. What's it got to do with it? So take a look. This is a very important point. This is a hotly discussed issue, I mean, amongst the Rishonim. But take a look at the Tosfos. Go back to Sanhedrin now. Take a look at the Tosfos. Sof Chama Lavo. Alright? I think, well, by the way, Reb Chaim also has this in his piece, I think, his famous piece in Hilchos Shechinah. Where he talks about Eisha Mishum Chitzav. He makes note of this point. So if you take a look, I think they all do. I mean, this is because this is the most basic point in the whole thing. If you look at Sof Chama Lavo, the second line down, four words from the end of the line, Nira. Okay? He says, actually go back a few words. Vehivio, and Kafso, I'm sorry, Umiyo, I'm sorry, enough, go back almost to the beginning of the line, on the second line, Umiyo. Umiyo, and Kafso, Bifnim, Vehivio, B'makam, Shasov, Chama, Lavo, V'sov, Tzina, Lavo, Nira, Dechayiv, Lamanda, Amar, Esho, Mishum, Chitzav, Dile, Inyan, Misa, Nami, Mechayivin, Be'esho, Mishum, Chitzav, Kidemukach, Be'ketzer, Aregel. Okay, there it is. In other words, what Tosfos is telling you is that Eisho Mishum Chitzav is not a literal concept. It's not literal. It applies in Eish and Mominus. It applies to Ritzicha. Nemuki Yosef holds you could extend it to Shabbos. In evaluating a Maisa there. In other words, it has, you can extrapolate universally to other areas. It's not literally the phenomenon of Eish. It could be Tzina, it could be Chama, it could be an Ari, it could be anything. So my question is simply, what is that anything? What is it, when is it that you apply the category of Eisho Mishum Chitzav? It's not literally Eish, so what is it? How would you, how should we portray it? In other words, what is the essential feature of the of Eisho Mishum Chitzav? Oh, so. So simply, I would say, simply put, you would say that Eisho means, for Rabbi Yochanan, it means a certain unstoppable force. It's an unstoppable force. But what you see from our Gemara is, right, so that's what it means. It means you release a chetz, you light a fire, the sun or the cold is going to come here. These are all unstoppable forces. If just nature takes its course, its normal course, this thing is going to get here and do its thing. It's a certain type of force. Now, you would have thought, of course, and that's the first point of Tosus, you might have thought that you're only Chayav Eisho Mishum Chitzav if you actually initiate, create the force. But what do you see from the case of Kofev Kamaso Shel Chaveiro that it makes no difference? As long as you create the situation where the object is related to the unstoppable force, that's considered a Maisa B'Yadayim in Halacha. It's a Maisa B'Yadayim that you now have, it's considered your unstoppable force. That's your Koach. It's as if it's your koach. You are related to that. You are considered to be the one responsible for the force itself. Whether you create the force or you put something in the line of the force, it makes no difference. The minute you render that force into a mazik or a mamis, that's yours. Halacha considers it a maisa b'yadayim. That's the first point in Tosus. That's how he mounts his kasha. Right? Vim tomar kevan she'ein chiluk bein mekare davar etzel esh vein mekare va'esh etzel davar, because you could have made a chiluk, but the answer is, you see, the halacha doesn't. And now we know Eisha Mishum Chitzav isn't a literal Gzeres HaKasav or a literal concept, but rather it's any unstoppable force. So why is it that if you tie a guy up, B'makom Shasov Chamalavo, how could he not be Chayev? He has to be Chayev. And yet the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Pater. And as I said before, or whoever said it, maybe it was Shmuel, I don't remember, that of course this could only be coined Eisha Mishum Chitzav, because you're rendering him into a Rotzeach, or into an Adam Hamazik. But Eisha Mishum Mamono is just a Din Mamon. It's a halachic mechanism. That's a completely different concept. Okay, so that is Tosus's kasha. Yeah, I'm not saying we don't have to go back to Nemuka Yosef, but I just want to make the point that that's why the Nemuka Yosef could ask that kind of a kasha, because he knew Eisho Mishum Chitzav is really a universal principle about how the Torah views a Maisa and an unstoppable force. How it evaluates such a thing. And it's considered your Maisa B'Yadayim. And that's why he raises the question by Shabbos. I'm just trying to at least give you that. That's why there's a framework there for him to ask that kasha. Okay, I'm not answering the whole Nemuka Yosef, okay? I know there are other problems with it, but I just want to show you that this is a big, by the way, this is a big question. It's not so simple. There are other Rishonim who don't say this. But I want to just stick to Tosus. So don't throw me into Shas here, guys. Okay. All right. Now, I guess we should get to the answer of the yeah, 1 second. Okay, so Tosus answers, V'yesh Lomar, Devadai e kafso vevio bemakam shesov chama otzina lovo or ari chayev. Definitely, what if you tied a guy up and you brought him to a place where sov chama otzina lovo? That would certainly be chayev. That's exactly analogous to a kofef kamaso lifnei hadleika, and we hold eisho mishum chitzah. So that's considered your maisa biyadayim. You're putting him in the path of the chetz. That's what you're doing. You're putting him in the path. Aval hasamayri. Aye, so what do you do with the Gemara Sanhedrin says he's potter? Aval hasam mayri shekafso b'makom shehoya v'lo heizizu mimkomo v'lo havi mitzamsem hoel v'achama v'hatsina v'hari ein olav b'shas kefisa. Okay, here's where Tosis pulls his move. That over there it's talking about you did not put him in the path of the Chama. He was already outside. And all you did was is tie him up outside. In other words, mitzamtzimo. You did mitzamtzim to him. Ah, so why aren't you chayev? Mitzamtzim is chayev? No. Because you're only chayev mitzamtzim if the chama and sino, whatever the phenomenon is, whatever the force is already there. Right? That's what he says. All right? If you take a look on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, go back again. Sof chama lovo. That same Tosis again. So Tosis says, Delo Rabbi Rachmona mitzamtzim Ella b'makom shehischil bo ahezek far. Okay, see that the Torah did not the chiddush of mitzamtzim is only if the hezek has already begun. Ella b'makom shehischil bo ahezek far. Right. So Tosfos is, what's Tosfos doing? See, he's dissecting the case. In other words, what Tosfos is saying is, you need to evaluate these cases in two frameworks. One is mitzamtzim, and then the other is maisa b'yadayim. Maisa b'yadayim. Eisho mishum chitzav. And you have to analyze the case using both frameworks in order to find out whether or not the guy should be chayav a pater. So how's he learning the case again? In other words, well, the way he's not learning it, in other words, he says, ain't a chanami. If you tied the guy up and then you take him out there in the middle of the night, you'll be chayev. Why? Because that's exactly maisa biyadayim. You place this person in a situation of the unstoppable force. You put him in front of a force that will kill him. It's like tying a guy to the railroad tracks and you know the trains are coming. I don't care if the train is 50 miles away. It's coming. So that has nothing to... That is a maisa biyadayim. That's definitely chayev. But what happens if the guy is already outside? And now you tie him up where he is. So Tosa says that's the case where he'll be pot. That's what the Gemara meant. He's potter. Why? Because you didn't bring him out and put him in front of the speeding train. He was already on the tracks. But you restrained him. Oh, restrained him? You mean mitzamtzamo. That's mitzamtzam. So you'll say yes. So Tosfos says yes, but this is mitzamtzam, that's potter. Why? Because it's only mitzamtzam, the Torah is only mechadesh, the category of mitzamtzam, right? That type of grama, it was mechadesh that you're a rotzeach only on one condition. Shehischel bo ahezek kvar. Yeah, he's giving you his definition of mitzamtzam. You know what I mean? He's giving you his definition of mitzamtzam. It's not just any time you restrain a guy. It's only if the hezek is already present. So, of course, you have a question, a logical question you have to think about. It's like you have a funny thing here. You have... It's an unstoppable force, but lo hischil kvar. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely going to come. See, that's what I'm trying to show you. In other words, when you're talking about the maisa b'yadayim, so if I put the guy outside, tied up, that's like putting him in front of the arrow. Because it's unstoppable force. The sun is going to get there. The cold's going to happen. So from that framework of a maisa b'yadayim, I am placing him in an unstoppable force. And that's why you're chayef. But when you go to the category of mitzamtzam, you have to view it very differently. Because I didn't put him in front of the bullet. He's already there. Now I restrain him. I don't let him leave. So the Torah says that's chayev, but only under one condition. That the hezek kfar hischel. That's what Tosfos is saying. So we just got to define that last point. But I just want to show you what he's doing. It's a very... he has a very careful and categorical analysis of the cases. You guys hear me? So what Tosfos holds is that the Gzeres HaKasav Mitzamtzein is only where your Maisa is Mashlim the Maisa Ritzicha. In other words, it means the process of Misa has begun. And then you play the role of being Mashlim, the process. You finish it off. You bring it to its final conclusion. A process has begun that's defined as a process of Hezekiah, of Misa. And then you, through your act of preventing him and tzimtzum, you polish off the process. And that's when the Torah is mechayev you as a rotzeach. But if you restrain a guy, and at the time you restrain him in the nighttime. In the nighttime there's no sun. There's no phenomenon of Retzach that relates to him. There's no process that you could say has been initiated in the Gavra that in any way relates him to Retzicha. So then you don't say Mitzamtzam. That's what Tosfos is saying. So that's why, even though it's an unstoppable force. Yes, but unstoppable force is only insofar as the question of chitzav. That's when you're evaluating as a maisa biyadayim of placing the gavra in the path of an unstoppable mamis. And then you say it's your chetz. It's considered your maisa biyadayim. But now we're not talking about that. Now we're talking about a different phenomenon of mitzamtzem. Mitzamtzem is a completely different thing. The fact that it's an unstoppable force somewhere in the distance does not tell me that the death sequence has begun. And therefore the Torah is not mechayev you, where you restrain a guy and there's no character of ritzicha that's already related to you as the gavra, as the victim. That's grumma. That's classic grumma. I tie you up somewhere, and then eventually you die. And that's what Rashi says, right? That's Rashi's description, I believe, by Rav. You take a look at Rashi in the Sanhedrin, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So he says, Kofso umeis barav. De bishar shekofso ein kan dvar hariga. V'harav ba me'elav. V'holeich v'chazek lachazman kol shah. V'lo dami le mitzamtzeim. B'mayim uva'or da'ahoreg mezuman. See? You can't talk about when you tie him up. Rashi's learning, you can't say that, you know, the hunger process has begun. It's not a chefza. You can't say the horeg is there. That's just a natural thing that a guy eventually, you know, gets hungry. It's a mania, you know what I mean? It's a privation. You can't say the death, there's a quality of a horeg present related to this gavra now. So that's how Tosus learns. Okay? That's Tosus. Now, the more fascinating case is the next one. I mean, I'll set up the problem, but I really want you guys to work on it. So Tosa says like this. Oh, you know the case of Bitka Demaya? Do you guys do that case yet?
No.
Ah, so you know what you want to do? All right, so we'll do Bitka Demaya next week, right? The case of Bitka Demaya, the comparison to Tris. And the truth is, you know, by the time we finish this Tosis, I mean, we'll have a pretty good view of what Tosis' world of, you know, when do you say the guy's a Rotsayach? You know, how you define whether it's considered a Maisa, Mitzamtzeim, or not? You really have his pretty much his whole view in that area. There's also a companion Tosis, if those who have, you know, luxury and time. That's that Sof Chamalovo in Sanhedrin. That's a parallel Tosis to this one. Okay.